works.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast with Joshua P. Warren, The MacGyver Way. If you're familiar with that age-old ABC TV program of exploring the paranormal on the cheap. Now, one of the things that you mentioned as a possible tool is an AM radio, and maybe the interference generated by UFOs or something. But with AM radio, and I'm someone who's been on AM radio, we are on AM radio in some cities, this show, the Paracast. I know that AM radio is particularly vulnerable to all sorts of noise. I mean, the noise comes from your power line. You turn the radio, you get noise. You turn the antenna, you don't get noise. So what about maybe a UFO sighting would deliver noise that's distinctive, Joshua?
Well, you know, a lot of people who listen to your show may have realized that as they listen to the program, if a thunderstorm happens to roll in, every time lightning strikes the distance, they will hear a little noise on the station. And similarly, if you have your radio too close to one of the old computer monitors, it will cause a crackle in the background. And the reason is that any time there is some type of a large discharge of electricity near an antenna, that is sending forth an enormous ripple of electromagnetism that temporarily overpowers that device. So it is going to just create a, even though it might be 2 seconds, a little burst or whatever of energy, that burst of energy is going to be significant enough to give you that moment where you get a wide band of interference. And in the same way, you can go outside sometimes when there's a big meteor shower and put your radio on a lower AM band. And right as a meteor comes sort of crackling through the atmosphere and breaking through the ionosphere, it will also send out an electromagnetic pulse, and you can hear that on the radio. And so many of these UFOs seem to produce the same kind of result. They seem to have a very powerful energy field around them that is radiating. And that's why, of course, some people not only see UFOs, but apparently experience what is considered UFO blindness, which is a form of conjunctivitis, where your eyes will swell up and become red and bloodshot because you're looking at something that's highly radioactive, especially if you're looking at something like the sun, say. And in addition to that, we have all kinds of accounts of people, of course, who are driving down the road in some desolate desert, and the UFO comes overhead, and the car stops working. You know, so, and this is very similar to what you may have seen on one of these documentary channels where the cops send some type of an EM pulse out to the bad guy's car, and it stops running. And so it seems that the type of energy around the UFO can also create a similar interference on a low AM radio band. And that is to say that if you look outside and you see some type of a UFO, but you're not picking up any interference on your radio, well, then you can say it's possible that what I'm seeing here is not some highly energetic object. I mean, I should especially know because for years I've produced a contest in Western North Carolina where we invite creative people, hobbyists, and engineers to come together and try to create fake UFOs. They have to be able to fly, and they have to be safe. And we launch these things and have a big party and videotape them and photograph them and then use them as a reference when we are analyzing supposed UFO imagery to see if what we're looking at could be a fake, a hoax, or something that's a lot more conventional. But if I see a UFO...
Yeah, like a Chinese lantern.
Just going to say, if a Chinese lantern is out there, it's not going to provide interference on your AM radio. But if you see a UFO and the radio starts crackling, you know you're looking at a much more serious and substantial object.
Exactly. And as a prior guest on the show, Ray Stanford pointed out, there was also an emotional, almost psychological effect that UFO energy fields, electromagnetic and gravitic fields have on the human brain. And he's coined the term euphoria. And whenever he feels this particular sensation, it's a calmness, it's a clarity of thought process. It has a what he has determined is a physiological and almost an emotional effect on him. He knows to grab his camera and run out, even though he hasn't seen anything. He's been able to identify the physiological reactions of his body to these exotic fields, and then that to him is like an alarm clock ringing. He runs out and is able to film dozens, actually, of UFO sightings. And, you know, Joshua, this is really, I'm the more I listen to you and the more we talk about this, the more excited I'm getting. I think that this is what you're proposing here is like a distant early warning net that like we used to have during the Cold War, where we had a chain of radar stations across the Arctic Circle to prepare for Russian ICBMs. And what you're proposing is a similar system that gives more professional-minded investigators kind of a wake-up call on our alarm clock, some sort of indication that there's a fairly qualified person who has been trained to the extent of being able to identify certain scientific processes that then deserve to be further investigated. And, you know, I think this is great. The more ideas like this, Joshua, that we can come up with to empower the younger generations of people that are seeing all these ghost shows, that are watching Ancient Aliens on the History Channel, that are really wanting to get involved but don't really have a clue how to, I think that this totally levels the playing field and gives the younger generations an impetus and a wherewithal to actually get involved. This is great stuff, man.
Well, thank you, because that was the intention. And it also was a response to so many people who contact me every year, and they say, what do I have to do to be a paranormal investigator? And of course, I have to tell all these people that really there's nothing stopping you, because you can't really go to school and become an expert on studying something that nobody can explain.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, and so if you have to carve your own pathway, and to do that, you have to learn as much as possible about all the possibilities. And I think one of the reasons that so many of your bona fide credentialed PhD scientists from big universities and so on are not out there doing this is because, for one thing, they simply don't have the time, and secondly, it is not nearly as profitable to go out and study something that may or may not give you a positive result after you've spent 20 years on it versus something that you know is real and is tangible, like studying the biological process of an animal, or studying what the moon and the sun and the stars are.
So it's all about getting grants and getting something accomplished now rather than something where you have no idea when or if you'll have results.
That's right. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can understand that. And you also can understand why that if a person goes to school for all those years and wants to get a degree, once they've got it, they want to make the most of it. And that means, getting maybe tenure someday at a university. And so it's not worth the risk for many of them to go out and publicly investigate controversial or material. On the other hand, you do find that all the time, I talk to some of your smartest people, Nobel Prize winners, and people who have invented remarkable devices, and they'll want to talk to me privately and tell me all their theories and all their ideas about what the aliens are up to and what ghosts are, and they'll tell you about profound experiences they themselves have had, but they want those conversations to be kept in confidence.
They have to be politically correct.
Well, I was just going to ask. Hold on. Wait a minute. I got to grab a hold of that one. Okay, you've talked to Nobel Prize winners and top scientists, and they've told you privately that they have a sense of what the aliens are up to. Can we hypothetically, in a non-personal way, ascribing this information in individuals, can we talk about that real quick and digress?
And before we even continue with that question, we're talking to Joshua P. Warren. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Have you been sitting on a few great domain name ideas but haven't locked them in for yourself? Good. Now you can buy them through the number one domain name registrar, Namecheap.com, as voted by the top tech blog Lifehacker. Just like the name says, you can buy domains cheap, as low as $2.99. And every new domain comes with WhoisGuard, our special privacy service, free for the first year. Now that you know, it's time to grab those domain names before someone else does. Namecheap.com. Go now. Namecheap.com.
Fate magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Dr. David Berry has provided excellent advice for all those interested in practical economics and sound money. It's certainly worth reading.
That's what Congressman Ron Paul said about Cha-Ching Wisdom, 123 Practical Universal Truths About Money, the new book by Dr. David Berry.
The cool part of this book, certainly it'll speak to you personally, your life, your lifestyle, your money, your investments, but it also can be generalized into the nation, what's going on as a nation. We do these same things as personally that we do as a nation.
Dr. Berry's book, Cha-Ching Wisdom, presents many facets of your relationship with the once almighty dollar and how current national and international politics affect your daily life.
Some of the other things are about that. They're not just economic. They're philosophical. There's psychology involved in this book. There's philosophy involved in this book.
Read Cha-Ching Wisdom by Dr. David Berry, only $9.95. Available at ChaChingWisdom.com. That's ChaChingWisdom.com. ChaChingWisdom.com.
Hello again. I'm back. This is John Swenson at Midas Resources. And I want to address a couple of issues that I hear about daily when we're talking about gold and silver. First, is there anything to suggest that sunny skies are just ahead? We continue to print fiat dollars, inflation worsens, there's civil unrest around the world, and the demand for gold and silver has never, ever been higher. Next, if you heard that possessing metals is a complicated process, I assure you that whether we're discussing a direct purchase or an IRA rollover, this is a simple, straightforward transaction. This is all about protecting your assets, and frankly, what are your options? Stock market? Real estate? Metal certificates? I don't think so. Please call me, 800-686-2237, extension 128. I promise a casual conversation, no pressure, no nonsense. I'm John Swenson at 800-686-2237, extension 128, and I sincerely look forward to hearing from you.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
We're back with Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. And we're exploring the unknown with Joshua P. Warren. And he says he's talked to Nobel Prize winners and others on the QT about their experiences and expectations and knowledge. Can you answer that question?
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, many of the people that I talk to who are truly intelligent people who have accomplished major things in science are very open to the reality that there is probably more life in the universe than what we find on this planet. I mean, obviously, most of them don't know much more than you or I probably do about what's happening, but all of them say that it's pretty clear that there is evidence that what is here on Earth did not seem to gradually just evolve over a nice linear pathway. Instead, there are periods of time when suddenly there seems to be a huge jump forth, you know, a big, abrupt, jagged surge in development, which is not so easy to account for if you look at the traditional view of, you know, biological evolution. And that is to say that at certain points in time that humans have been influenced by something else that gave them...
Well,
you know,
life in general, just life in general, Joshua. The Precambrian explosion. We had a guest on a few episodes ago, Dr. John Brandenburg, who suggested that Mars meteorites ejected from Mars with life may have actually helped seed and jumpstart life here in the Precambrian explosion on Earth. So even just basic biology can be affected by this. What you're saying they're suggesting is that even human development could be impacted.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Because we have this sense that we know just about everything that's happening in the world, which is a very false illusion. That is to say that right now we live in a world when for the first time ever you can communicate almost instantly with someone in China, you know, someone on the other side of the globe. You can look almost instantly at any spot on the planet using a satellite. You can turn on the TV and go live via satellite to any place on the planet where some news story is developing. And so that gives many people this false sense that, well, there's nothing left to be discovered. We can go and see whatever we want at any time and get information at the speed of light. Therefore, there's nothing new. But that could not be a more unreliable and false perception, because we are not fully grasping the unbelievable magnitude, the incomprehensible mass of the vastness all around us, you know, this unknown void, which becomes more and more intriguing all the time. And it's funny to me that the other day I was sitting at a restaurant with a few friends, and I said, out of the blue, let's do a little test, a little experiment. And I said, right now, let's see who the first person is who can take a picture of this salt shaker. And suddenly everybody starts, you know, scrambling and rushing for their cell phones. One of my friends got a picture of the salt shaker in 7 seconds. And, of course, then the rest followed suit very quickly, and just about everybody had a picture of the salt shaker in less than 15 seconds. Now, never in the history of mankind have we had a point when the average person in a civilized, you know, country is able to photograph something that just spontaneously appears in less than 10 seconds. Because that we have this ability all around us now, again, a lot of people think, well, if there were ghosts, if there were UFOs, everybody should have a picture of one by now. The fact of the matter is, there are tons and tons of new images that are coming out every day, but the downside is the same technology that allows you to capture those things so quickly has also made it incredibly easy to hoax them. And so now the challenge becomes, how do we differentiate fact from fiction? And what you find is that an image itself is only worth so much. An image alone will never prove anything. You take something like the Patterson Bigfoot film, okay? I don't know what was on that film. I really don't. I don't intend to get into that. But the point is, doesn't matter, does it? Whether or not that was a real Bigfoot or a guy in a suit, the footage proved nothing. And so in order for us to make headway, we have to combine imagery with all of these other tools that allow us to document what's happening before us. And that is where society is lacking, understanding how to measure the physical and the atmospheric environments that might somehow give us support for what is being seen in that image.
Yeah, really good point. As the technology increases, we have the ability to document more of our reality up close and personal, but we also have the ability to fabricate reality, which is, I think it's really becoming a serious problem, not so much scientifically, but more culturally. Footage like the Jerusalem video, I'm still getting videos from people saying, have you seen this? Oh, this is so amazing. And it's like been 2 months, 3 months since, you know, the initial analysis has come down the pike. And people culturally aren't aware of that history, that chain of documentation and analysis. They're not aware of it, yet they're discovering the initial footage, and it's like a snowball in the culture. So, you know, we're dealing with a kind of a double-edged sword here. You're proposing training amateurs with amateur equipment to be like a distant early warning system, or, you know, a precursor, kind of a recon team to go out and document sites. Yet it's also fertile ground for people to take this and further muddy the waters, further provide noise into the signal, as is our contention here, that we need to separate the signal from the noise. So how do you surmount that? I mean, is there any way to separate the wheat from the chaff as you're empowering people to go out and document things?
Sure, and it really is all based in that undeniable and ultimate goal of the scientific method, and that is repeatability. Whatever you get, however profound it may seem, in the long run, it's not going to be meaningful to anyone else unless it provides the basis for repeatability. That is to say, if you have done a proper job of uncovering that relationship of cause and effect, those factors in the environment which need to be present for this paranormal anomaly to present itself, then you should, after a while, be able to predict when it's going to happen. And that's what's so great about, say, Brown Mountain. After all these years, we've now come up with four factors that allow you the highest chances of seeing the Brown Mountain light. And I get people contacting me all the time saying, wow, you know, you're right. We went out there when you know, the temperature was like this, and the rainfall was like this, and the KP index was like that, and there they were. And so the closer we get to the right answer, the more accurately we'll be able to predict these things. And if you've got a ghost in your house that is appearing under some regular conditions, and you learn what those conditions are, then you should be able to tell me when I can come to your house and have the highest chances of seeing that ghost. And, in fact, just recently, we discovered that in the old jail and gallows, which I have here in Asheville, I've got a museum set up in there.
I'll tell you what, we'll go into that museum and we'll go about repeatability and all that stuff in a moment. Joshua P. Warren joining us. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaways, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All-natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects. It's safe for all ages and skin types and is even safe enough to spray on sore sore throats, or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled D-E-R-M-A-T-O-L.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
The U.S. economy is at a tipping point. 40 cents of every dollar the government spends is borrowed. The president of the Federal Reserve in Dallas was recently quoted saying, "This path will lead to insolvency, resulting in the collapse of our government and our economy. Our country can't function like this, and neither can your household. That's why you need to prepare, and priority one is your food supply. Fortunately, it's easy and affordable with the help of Ready Reserve Foods. Ready Reserve Foods has been a premier supplier of long-term storable foods for 37 years. Their unique process assures the highest quality long-term food storage available. With a 25-year shelf life, a full year supply of quality food for two people costs a fraction of what you pay at the grocery store. For a free, full-color catalog, call 800-453-2202. That's 800-453-2202. Or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Ready Reserve Foods, making preparedness simple since 1972.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
We return. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast with Joshua P. Warren. And the question, of course, on the table is repeatability, and you were about to talk about this museum. Would you please proceed, Joshua?
Yeah, sure. I've got a museum in the old jail and gallows building here in Asheville, North Carolina. It's the last standing structure of the old jail complexes on Marjorie Street, and they used to hang people all up and down the street, and it's got quite a dark history. But nonetheless, the museum has only been open since December, and the docent of the museum, a lady named Kat, was closing up by herself on, I believe it was Sunday, January 23rd of this year. And Kat was walking through a little theater section we've got in the back room. She was startled because she slammed right into a tall, dark man, and she thought she just rudely walked into somebody who'd come into the museum without her knowledge, and then he disappeared. Now, she'd never had an experience like this, so it rattled her, and she quickly, you know, closed up and contacted me afterward, pretty frightened by what had happened to her. And so, that was interesting on its own. Well, less than 3 hours later, our chief historian, a man named Vance Pollack, who had no knowledge of Kat's experience, found out that a former sheriff of Buncombe County and chief of police of Asheville named John Lyerly had killed himself in our building in 1924. He went in there and put his service revolver to his right temple, and he did it on January 23rd of 1924, exactly 87 years to the day before Kat saw this apparition. Now, to see this develop, you know, just to be right there myself with people whom I know and trust, and to see those factors develop over a period of hours was enough to send a chill down my spine. This is the kind of thing where all the pieces come together so well, it's almost like a story you could tell around a campfire. I know that she had this profound experience, And I know that on that same day, a few hours later, another friend found out about the suicide and that it was that exact day.
Let me ask you a fast question here, Joshua. Moving back to the Brown Mountain Lights, about repeatability. So I want to go back there. Can you tell me what conditions need to be present for me to see something?
Absolutely. And before I do that, the point of the ghost story is that that is a repeatability factor. Guess what we're going to be doing next January 23rd? We're going to be sitting there waiting for this ghost to appear. And you have to look for these patterns like that. At Brown Mountain, there are four variables that will help you see the Brown Mountain Lights. And I can explain also why these four variables matter. But first, I'll just tell you what they are. Number one is time of year. And that is about mid-October up to early November. Secondly, if it's during or just after a rainy period. Third is if there happens to be an extra amount of carbon in the air, like a bunch of campers are out there burning campfires, or in fact, one year, I think it might have been 2000, there was actually a forest fire down the road. And the last factor is when the KP index measures a 5 or above, and that is a measurement of the disturbance of the Earth's magnetosphere. So when the magnetosphere is wobbling around a bit, that seems to enhance it. So those are the four factors, and all those can be found online at brownmountainlights.com. But do you want to know why those factors are important or move on?
You go for it, man. We're all ears.
Okay. Well, to start with, time of year is important. Again, October into November for two reasons. Number one, because that is the time of year when it starts to really shift quickly into cold weather around here. And the difference between daytime and nighttime temperatures is so distinct that that causes the mountain to very quickly cool and contract and squeeze the rocks together. We find that basically, I think the mountain in part acts like a large capacitor. It's got layers of magnetite and quartz all throughout
the
strata.
Well, that's important, quartz. Quartz is really important.
And, of course, quartz is a non-conductor and magnetite is a conductor. When you have conductors and non-conductors, these form a capacitor or a condenser, something that stores up small charges over a period of time to a critical point when it then discharges in a large way. Another thing about that time of year is that that is the fall here, and of course the leaves are off the trees, so not only do you have better visibility, but as those leaves are deteriorating on the ground, they're producing tannic acid, which is a great electrolyte, which is a good conductor for anything electrical happening within the mountain. Secondly, as before, or actually I should say just right after or during a rainy spell, and that's because the mountain is full of little caverns and holes, and as water runs through the mountain, the water passes over those shelves of magnetite and quartz, and it charges them up. That's one of the big charging mechanisms. When the mountain cools and contracts, and that contraction is further enhanced by thrust faults, which almost completely encircle the mountain, those layers, they start squeezing together, and they start to discharge. And what we determined in our lab experiment was that when several discharges intersect at about an 8-degree angle, those intersections meet up and they start to spin. And when they spin, they create what looks to the naked eye like a little ball of light at the pivot point. And the speed with which that spins determines how it appears in terms of what color, or if it can only be seen in the infrared, or the ultraviolet. Often it will sort of shift in and out of the visible and invisible frequencies. And the plasma that's created is always enhanced if there is more carbon in the air. It gives a fuel, if you will, to the reaction, which is why you can create a little ball of plasma in your microwave if you let a cigarette burn in there. You know, you've probably seen that little example. And then the last thing, the KP index is important because when the Earth's magnetic field wobbles, it induces a current that passes through all the planet. And it also determines our distance from the particles coming in from the sun, which is why if you're standing up near the North Pole, you can see the Aurora Borealis so clearly, or the Aurora Australis toward the South Pole. It's because that as it wobbles, if that shielding field becomes thin enough, it brings you closer to these particles which are bombarding the Earth. And as this field wobbles around and induces a strong current through the Earth in a dynamo effect, that seems to enhance the overall dynamics of places like Brown Mountain, which are natural conductors, places which are close to the surface that are outlets for this electricity to become visible for us. Now, just because many of these lights seem to be the product of a natural phenomenon, that does not discount other paranormal activity, because it may be that a place like Brown Mountain that produces so much energy naturally also triggers other paranormal experiences, that it allows people to see into other realms. Maybe UFOs go there to recharge their batteries or something, you know. So this is the core phenomenon, but it does not necessarily explain all other phenomena connected to it.
Well, we're going to be breaking for our benefactors in a moment, but I'm going to ask you that question, which is, okay, so tell us about paranormal elements. We can start here, then pick up on the next segment. Go ahead, please.
Okay, well, we could talk a little bit about cryptids, perhaps.
In Brown Mountain?
You mean at Brown Mountain? There are some cryptids seen at Brown Mountain, but at Brown Mountain, I think certainly ghosts and UFOs are the most important.
Okay, so there have been UFO sightings there, things that can't be identified as some kind of standard atmospheric or surface phenomenon. I'll tell you what, this is one of the things that we're going to want to explore in more detail. Once again, a reminder, listeners, we're talking about this new Paracast Pro premium service. So many P's, I want to stop popping them. And I welcome your input. News@theparacast.com, news@theparacast.com. Chris and I will go over them and try to come out with something that really represents value and fun to everyone. We have Joshua P. Warren. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast Pro.
Mother's Day is this Sunday, and ProFlowers is offering an amazing Mother's Day special. A beautiful bouquet of 24 assorted Mother's Day roses with a free glass vase, plus a free box of chocolates, all for just $29.99. Just visit ProFlowers.com, click on the microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code MANY. These 24 Mother's Day roses are bursting with color. They're the perfect way to show all the moms in your life how much you appreciate them. 24 assorted roses guaranteed to stay beautiful for at least 7 full days, plus a free glass vase and a free box of chocolates, all for just $29.99. But hurry, this special offer ends Friday. Mother's Day is this Sunday, and it's your last chance to take care of mom. The only way to get your last chance Mother's Day offer is to visit ProFlowers.com, click on the microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code MANY. Go to ProFlowers.com, secret code MANY. That's ProFlowers.com, code MANY.
Spring and a new growing season are here. Plan a healthy garden easy and fast with Organicaseed.com. Easy because Organicaseed.com offers one of the largest online selections of organic, heirloom, non-hybrid, and untreated seeds, as well as tobacco and cotton seeds at low prices. Go to Organicaseed.com, spelled O-R-G-A-N-I-C-A-Seed.com. Organicaseed.com. Remember, Organicaseed is healthy seed.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Yes, Chris is a pro. We haven't said at what, but we'll get into that one.
Joshua is a pro. Hold on.
We return with Chris O'Brien, the co-host, Gene Steinberg, the host, in the Paracast, and Chris is about to talk about another pro.
Well, I think we kind of got ahead of ourselves a little bit here, Gene. Joshua, before we go on, and I'm just absolutely fascinated with your depth of knowledge. You're a wonderful bridge between the scientific realm, healthily skeptical but open-minded, and the practical, let's get her done, let's get on the ground, let's really organize people, let's really do the work. And we really should have started the show, actually, talking about the League of Energy Materialization and Unexplained Phenomena Research, or LEMUR, which is, one of our working on the grassroots level, having gear, having good consultants, really doing a good job. Why don't you tell us, give us a little background about LEMUR, your involvement, how it started, some of the people that you have involved in this whole ongoing process.
Absolutely. I created LEMUR in 1995, and that's because I realized very quickly that to go out into the field and gather the spectrum of data that would be necessary to look at all the possible variables was going to require people who had much more expertise than myself who could focus on individual areas. And that's one of the great things about paranormal research. You don't have to know everything yourself. If you don't know something, you just go find somebody who does. And that's the value of teamwork. And so I have a variety of specialists I've worked with throughout the years on different projects. We specialize in ghostly activity because ghostly activity, in one way or another, seems to relate to studying everything else. And I say that because ghost activity is really just about energy, and all things create energy.
Yeah, but it's location specific. That's what I love about it. You can go to a place that has a history and even documentation of events, and you have a much better chance of zeroing in on a particular location as opposed to running around during a sighting wave trying to document UFOs, for instance.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's one of the toughest things to do is to try to study UFOs. I mean, you feel so helpless. Here we are, these little earthbound souls, gazing up into this infinity, and you see some little light zipping around.
Right. So, okay, let's talk about cutting to the chase. I mean, you really have come up, I think, with a very ingenious format to actually look at location-specific phenomena. Continue on how this evolved.
Well, over the years, we started realizing that looking at energy was the key. That's why LEMUR stands for the League of energy materialization and unexplained phenomena research. So we take things that people experience they cannot explain, and we try to look at what energies may be involved. Keeping that open approach has allowed us to see many of these phenomena with fresh eyes from a new perspective. And, you know, some of the members we have, one is a professional geologist, one is a surgeon, a very highly acclaimed medical doctor, and then we have guys who are just, you know, engineering technicians. You know, Dean Worsing is an electrician, for example, a man who works with electricity every day in a practical way. Forrest Connor is an engineer at a radio station, you know. He works on a lot of our audio-oriented stuff. And so, you know, you want to put together a group of people who know how to get their hands dirty and also are good communicators. Because 9 times out of 10, the very first step in knowing that a place is worthy of investigation is having someone report it to you. It starts with the human experience. I saw this. I heard that. I felt this. And, you know, ghosts are real at very least in terms of the human experience. And so communication is very, very important. You have to be able to begin by putting yourself in the other person's shoes. And then you go out there and you start building upon that to see to what extent that person's reality overlaps with everybody else's. And that is where data comes in handy as a medium for what's occurring in the environment that might allow us to share some part of the experience with that individual and understand what's happening. So altogether, whether it is, you know, UFOs or psychic phenomena or cryptids or whatever, I mean, I think that we probably either have the best people to go work on it, or we can access the best people who are going to take a pretty skeptical approach. And I know that's funny. A lot of people think that skeptical means debunker, but that's not true. There's a big difference between people who go out with the agenda to prove something's not real and people who go out and reserve judgment until all the data is in.
Well, we have a big thread. We have a thread on the Paracast right now that is actually about that very subject, defining the difference between a skeptic and a debunker. One of the things that I kind of realized while you were answering was that languaging is also very important. You need to have an agreed-upon system of languaging. In other words, if you say something as an amateur investigator to a scientist, you have to know that you are using a form of languaging that he can properly interpret. You know, obviously a person that doesn't have a master's or PhD in some particular, you know, focused realm of science, they're not going to have the quality of languaging that's necessary to communicate on that level. So languaging, I think, is another area that's super important. And why don't you continue, and then we'll go to some questions that we have from our Paracast Forum viewers.
Well, you know, Chris, you are so right about that. I could not agree more. Language is of utmost importance because this may be the single factor that has held research back the most. The fact that people are not able to start speaking to each other at the same point. And I see how some folks in the metaphysical realm, if you will, make this even more complicated by taking what are originally scientific or technical terms and adapting them into metaphysical language. I'll give you an example. Some of the people who study vortex energy, which is pretty much a psychic endeavor of trying to sense what energy might be spiraling into or out of the earth.
Yeah, I live in Sedona, so I know about that.
Yeah. Many of them say that, you know, you have two types of vortexes, what they call, as a metaphysician, magnetic or electric. And what they mean is that a magnetic field is one that is swirling inward and pulls you in with the feminine energy. And electric is swirling out of the earth and sort of the yang masculine energy. Well, now, magnetic and electric mean something completely different to an engineer. or to somebody who's a traditional scientist. It becomes confusing if you have some vortex researcher talking about electricity and magnetism next to a guy who studies, how to wire a house or something. And so, language holds us back because language is the mold that our ideas must conform to transport themselves back and forth from person to person. And
exactly. And
to be clarified, yeah.
And your point about, the idea of the vortex and scientifically what people are talking about or think they're talking about when they talk about vortexes, and I'm a person that's challenged on this all the time. And living in Sedona, it's pretty interesting. Actually, I live outside of Sedona now, but it's pretty interesting encountering people who are totally caught up in the whole idea of this magical, just gorgeous area that has vortexes. And then I have to remind them that out of the five main vortexes, they actually had to move two because there wasn't enough parking.
I love that.
Yeah, well, we should do a whole show on Sedona sometime. I tell you, boy, it could be a real 60-minute style expose, maybe. Anyway, continue. Let's talk about Lemur. How did you devise your protocols? What were some of your main early cases that really gave you some results that you were able to, dovetail other efforts onto? Why don't you continue?
Well, when I was a teenager, I started publishing books. I published my first book when I was 14 or 15. And by the time I was 18, I was working on the first book of Asheville ghost stories. I live in Asheville, North Carolina.
I'll tell you what, you're starting to sound there like Timothy Green Beckley.
Yeah.
Right, because he was doing that at 11, 12 years old. We'll get into that background in a moment. We have Joshua P. Warren. We've been exploring on doing the paranormal research game on the cheap, the MacGyver way, and lots more. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
Paracast Pro.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.